Welcome, bienvenue à un autre épisode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, aka Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com, aka Le Grand Papa B, aka Gaston Lucien Lebanor.
Good.
Today's episode is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory on this day, May 25, 2025. Today's episode is rated R and F. F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record labeled as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. This podcast may not be for you. All right, continuing with tradition, I'm going to ask all you, well, first I'm going to say thank you, all your listeners. Good for you. Thanks for listening. And do me a favor and applaud yourselves. And if this happens to be your first time listening to this podcast, welcome. Yay! Here's hoping I say something throughout the episode, during the episode, that resonates and leads us to making history. Reminder that shutuppodcast.com is the website, shutuppodcast401@gmail.com. And one last reminder that this podcast is a safe space for my thoughts. All right? You were warned. And they're protected by the red, the black, and the green, with the red, black, and the red, blue. Rouge et bleu, motherfucker. In today's episode, the working title for now is 268, Being Liked versus Being Respected. You know, I think I'm going to keep that. I think I'm going to go with that one. Who knows? We'll see. We'll see. We'll see where the spirit takes me. In today's episode, I discussed the energy I put in into being liked and the energy I don't put in into being respected. That's all future thought. But before we get to that, we're going to do some quotes and some randomness. Alright. I should have done a sound check before recording, but alright, okay, sorry, gang. Alright. Commençons. On débutera avec première citation. First quote. Manipulation is when someone ignores their own disrespectful behavior, but blames you for how you reacted to it. Let it marinate. Yeah. If you can avoid it, get rid of the manipulators in your life. Not just because they're manipulators, but also they, the peace of mind. Life will be, you'll have one less reason to hate life. Second quote. I say quote, but they're thoughts. Quote, thoughts, tweets, whatever. Shit that make you think. Next one goes, alone is not lonely. Alone is not broken. Alone is an anchoring, a healing, a reminder that the love you find within yourself will be yours forever, a reminder that you have the capacity to be your own home. You know, while I was reading this, I was thinking about how during my teenage life, how there was some rule about the amount of time you should take after a breakup or the amount of time before you engage, you get into a new relationship. And at the time, because I didn't know any better or didn't have that wisdom, it never made sense to me. I'm like, yo, this chick is trying to bang me now. I ain't missing this opportunity, but I get it. At that time, I didn't understand or I didn't value or appreciate the solitude, being alone, alone time, the value that comes from being able to like your own presence, your own company. All right, next quote. Being an emotionally intelligent person means you can never fully hate someone because you understand there's a reason they are the way they are. Another powerful one. Next one. A big part of, okay, you guys need to pay attention to this one. A big part of being happy is being excited. Be excited for everything. Making a cup of tea, seeing a friend, the next episode of your favorite show, buying something you've been saving up for, sunset traveling, falling in love. Live life as you are excited about. There was a period in my life where I was complaining about how I was bored. And this resonates. It's because I think I was taking for granted the things that do make, it was a combination of taking for granted the things that did excite me and not finding more. I'm thinking about this, and I'm maybe the next episode I'll talk about these thoughts I was having about comedy, but this piece here just made me miss comedy. It reminded me of an aspect of comedy that I like. Trying out a new joke, being a new vendor, being nervous before a show, worried it's not going to go well, and actually go, like that excitement, that nervousness and excitement come together. Yeah, interesting. Yeah. Do I have that excitement on this podcast? Every once in a while. It depends on the episode. Am I excited for this episode? Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Blah, 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 blah. All right, okay. Last quote. This was the fourth one. Okay, last quote. This is an O, as in, here's to the people. Raise your glass. Here's to the people whose trauma did not give them thick skin. The ones who became more sensitive and insecure, who cry more easily, who get overwhelmed at small things. I'm so tired of the narrative that trauma makes you tough and untouchable. We're survivors, not superheroes. Man, you know, okay, I should give credit. This one comes from a tweet by Jules Ryan. I'm assuming it's a tweet. Radiant Butch. Now for some randomness. Dun, 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 dun. Okay, I have four. One, two, three, four. Yeah, four. But ruminating? Sorry, English is my first, second language. That's my excuse. Ruminating. There we go. Yes, when I was talking about that thought, I was ruminating regarding comedy. It was inspired after listening to, I'll put the link in the show notes, an episode of Blocks, the Blocks podcast by Neil Brennan. And he interviewed W. Kamau Bell's. And just the discussion they were having about comedy, black comedy, what is who gets to define what is black, especially with a white guy involved in this discussion, involved in a discussion, being able to handle, process that kind of discussion. It just had me thinking about the fact that about being a comedian from Ottawa. By Ottawa, I'm just synonym white. Just think white. Name is Be Black in a White City. The joke writes itself. Anyway, it just had me thinking, and who knows, I might be, you know, I'm just going to, in case I don't do anything about that, I don't make an episode about it, I'm just going to say, check out that podcast episode. That's it. All right. Now, let's get to my notes. All right, okay, that's what men do. Right, okay, so this one is just it actually came up on my Threads timeline. And it's the author Cooking with Pat Lee. Oh, Patrick Lee. Cooking with Pat Lee. He posted something, and it's an image of Kendrick. Shit, what's the name of that black guy in the black dude from Snowfall who plays Rick Ross? Or you guys gonna make me look him up here? I'll get his name after, okay? And I know these black guys. actually, hold on, I think it's gonna be. Anyways, he's got their images and he's quoting them. And what I love about these quotes is how they are Brothers Supporting Black Women. The title I put for this one, I just labeled this tweet as That's What Men Do. And they're just quotes of black men supporting black women. For example, first let's start with Kendrick Lamar. He goes, "Don't let no white comedian talk about no black women, that's law. No black woman, that's law." As in, yeah, it explains itself. Second, okay, Dawson Idris, that's his name, the dude in Snowfall. And he goes, oh, I love this line. He goes, "I promise you, you aren't men to us." Hey, let me see where that quote actually comes from. You know what? No, I'm okay. I'm just going to read these quotes because I got other randomness to get through. Next one is Ryan Clark. He goes, "They always feel like they have to go the extra mile to prop up the woman that they're married to or the woman that they're with over black women by denigrating black women." Ryan Clark. Last one's Patrick Lee. "Protect, honor, love, and respect black women and stop acting like bitch ass nigga." Sorry, he used sorry. I'm laughing because he used emojis to say bitch ass niggas. Bitch ass ninjas. And this goes back to something I've been saying on past episode on our journey to redefining masculinity. The one thing that should be addressed is defining masculinity where we support women as opposed to oppress them. Now this ain't no, I mean, any man who's done some introspection knows that a lot of us have started out to be, we're raised to be monsters. Two women, not supported. Like it's not reciprocal. Sure, maybe there's a nice guy out there. Maybe you've been, you know, you treat women like you treat your mother and stuff like that. But for the most part, don't act like we have rules. Like if you're a guy who's being nice to a woman and not expecting sex from her, consider, yeah, that's unmanly. I'm talking about that. I'm talking about toxic masculinity here. That's, you know, if you know, you know. All right. So, yeah, that's what men do. Next item. oh, I forgot to say, I think this is also the first quote is also in relation to Tory Lanez. Fuck Tory Lanez. Let that nigga die in jail. Yeah. Right. Okay. Next line. "Where was God during slavery?" I'm just going to play the clip.
You better watch yourself. You better not mock God. He's going to punish you. It's interesting. God will stop me in my tracks, but he couldn't stop any of the slave masters and theirs. He couldn't stop any of the slave ships when they came to the Americas. He couldn't stop the conquistadors before they was going to wreak havoc in the Americas. It's interesting. People will use God selectively for their own endeavors. I love it.
It reminds me of... Well, first of all, this is going to be a church ratchetness segment. This portion is a church ratchetness item, and church ratchetness is a segment that I created to where I just talk shit about the church. Some preachers' kids out of wedlock. Me, I talk shit about the church. And for those of you who are a member of the Black Guy community, and thinking that, oh wow, you're stealing, so we're stealing segments title from the Black Guy Tips. I want to be clear that no, that's not what's happening. They have source ratchetness. I have church ratchetness. They're McDonald's, I'm McDowell's. Let's not start any shit. Where was I? Yes. What I love about this quote is because it reminded me of how I used to hate the answers I would get. Like, in my mind, I'm like, hey, how God is all powerful and he allowed this whole slavery shit to happen? And the answers I'd get is, well, you know, he figured we could handle it so he could show us his glory, Indian. And yeah, no, it was just pissing me off. Like, it was starting to feel more and more like if there is a God, he's on their side. He's on white people's side. He's on the side of the enslavers. Of the oppressor. So needless to say that on the long list of reasons why I became an ex-Christian, you can add that one. Not having this whole, so God's going to get on my case, but he's going to let the sons and daughters of slave owners prosper? Man, fuck that nigga. Yeah, if God exists, he's on their side. this ain't a shot against a belief in God. But I'm just saying, when it comes to Christianity, you're going to have a hard time convincing me that it's a religion made for us, designed for us. Granted, shout out to some of you who managed to customize the religion for themselves and found empowerment through it. Good for you. High five. I'm not that guy. And please don't try to convince me to be that guy. But yeah, if there is a God, he's on their side. Sorry, I'm thinking about the interview and how Camel. Anyway, he was talking about how he's not fully religious, but every once in a while he'll catch himself saying, "Thank you, Black Jesus." I have my "Thank you, Black Jesus" moments and my "Thank you, the ancestor" moments too. All right, next item. All right, Kate, this is one of those, okay, compassion doesn't require comprehension. I'm just going to play, this is like some just words of wisdom shared by a soul, worth sharing. But, man, shared by a soul, and it's worth sharing with the rest of you. Here we go.
One of the lessons of straightness is that you only can belong if you are understood. Mm. So in order to be understood, you have to say, "I am a man, I am a woman, I am this, I am category." Mm. That's not love, that's control. Love is a commitment to one another's perpetual and perennial mystery. Love says, "I will never understand you. I will never get you, but I don't need to understand or get you, because I'm here to be alongside you, not to consume you." The truth is, affinity doesn't come from pledging allegiance to our alienation. Affinity actually comes from embracing one another's unruliness. "I love you because you're just like me," by which I mean unknowable and unfurling.
Powerful. Powerful. Let me get the content creator's name. Is Alok. Alok. Oh, comedian, poet. Compassion doesn't require comprehension. I think the biggest part in what they were saying is, the first one that stuck to me is love and control versus control. I think one of the, when I took a break from relationships, well, I've been on a break for a while, but when I took a break from relationship, one of the things I noticed is how a lot of the mistakes I was making in relationship is not knowing the difference between love and control. I couldn't tell when I was being loving or I was being controlling. I couldn't tell when my partner was being loving or they were being controlling. A lot of times, a lot of traits that I thought were, there's a lot of controlling traits that I used to think were loving. That's one. Two, it reminded me of what they were saying is being in a relationship. No, I had this long time ago. I was young, didn't know better, but it's worth talking about now. Is I was really attracted to this girl. Really, really. Like, it was like, it blew my mind. It was, and like, I was listening to R&B songs. It's like, yes, all the bullshit they would say. "I would do anything for you, blah, blah, blah," you know. fiending, all that. Think about whatever crush you have, and then you were convinced that you would do anything for. Anyways, and I remember being heartbreaking when they wouldn't reciprocate it. Reciprocate, and I remember feeling like it was so unfair. It was all of it. It was unfair. Look, I was being nice to you. Why the fuck? And all that shit. And it's only like, you know, as an adult that I'm looking at it, is like, I didn't even bother. Like, I was in love with a an image, an idea of this person, not the actual human being. That was one. And two, my intention, I didn't see it that way, but I knew that what I wanted to do with this person was pretty much put him in a cage and say, she belongs to me. You don't look at any other guy like that. Now, I didn't see it that way, but I'm just realizing how I went from it's unfair to being like accepting the outcome. One, it's, you know, whatever I was convinced this person was to be, it was inaccurate. I think that the biggest part that I'm bringing up is how I felt like, how I turned that that heartbreak into like, I was mad. I mean, at that age, young, holy shit. All it would have taken is one dude with the right brochure, incel brochure, to be like, you know what? It's a good thing the manosphere didn't exist back then. Because I would have taken that feeling of unjustified feeling of unfairness, and then resent all women for it. But anyways, I think that was very powerful on their part. I know the message they were saying is a lot deeper than what I'm trying to say. I'm just saying the part that resonated with me the most is love versus control. All right. Last item. Okay, I don't know where I'm going to go with this, but white genocide. Can I say more? I'll tell you what. I'm just going to play what inspired this thought. Sure, one of it is... No, I'm not going to play this clip just because it's a little long. No, it's not long, but it's... There was a recent clip of Trump inviting the president of South Africa, and this asshole had him up front talking about, wait, what about the white genocide in this? Okay, all I'm going to say is it's a topic unto themselves. I didn't even bother researching it like to flesh out this idea, but I am going to say, I'm just going to make one point about white genocide, how it's an irrational fear specifically from the minds of white people. And unfortunately, it's a fear that also hurts us black people. Like, the concept of genocide of a race is something that's exclusively from the imagination of a white person. And until white people can come to terms with that fear, deal with it, flesh it out, like fucking, I'm talking about like therapy, shit like that, black people are never going to be free. Or it's going to be something that's going to have to be dealt with. It's going to, like, think of an irrational fear someone else has, and it traps you as well. That irrational fear is how you end up with a Donald Trump. That irrational fear has been used so often by politicians, leaders, Klansmen against white people to manipulate white people to get what they want. Like, it's fucked up. And the worst part is how white people keep trying to constantly, like, it's like they're constantly fearing that black people are going to act on it. It's like again, it's an irrational, like any irrational fear. It's ridiculous. But to the person who's experiencing it, it's as real can get. Yeah. And the thing about white genocide is black people were used to, okay, do whatever, like, we gotta, like, change our behavior so one white person doesn't get a hint of, oh, they're coming to get me. But I get it. I mean, again, it's one of those things people are gonna have to deal with. You know what? I'm just gonna play this clip of, yeah, that was just my take. But anyways, that's what inspired this. The other thing that inspired this thought is this clip by Julius Malema of South Africa. And it's it's like I feel like if we could, if the world were able to come together, it would be to have an intervention with white people to help them deal with this thing, this concept of white genocide. This fear that the entire world is coming to get them because of the shit that their ancestors did in the past. I mean, sure, there are black people who are sociopaths, but I mean, that's being a sociopath. But whatever, that's, I'm just going to play this clip.
I always see here crocodile tears of white people. Malema wants to kill white people. Ahashem. Stop being sensitive. No one is going to kill you. You think we're going to kill you because you killed our people. The killing mentality is in your head. We don't have a killing mentality. We have a mentality of justice and peace. Mm. The only thing we are not prepared to do is to prioritize peace over justice. There must be justice first before there is peace. Because peace without justice, we are pretending one day we are going to have an outburst. Please, we don't owe white people an apology. Black people, stop apologizing to white people. Mm. They are the ones who are owing us an apology. You have done too much to damage a black nation. We are unemployed because of you. We are dying of diseases because of you. We are illiterate because of you. We have surrendered to drugs because of you. You owe us a lot. You must show remorse and stop behaving like crybabies. The South African democracy is going to be built by a robust debate, particularly when it comes to race relations. We must stop pretending to each other. Yeah. The poor means black. The rich means white. For as long as that has not been resolved, there will be a permanent problem between the poor and the rich.
Between the poor and the rich. Yeah. I think that's what gets me the most is because it's going to be a while before white people possess the capacity to, like, see this fear for what it actually is. A them problem. Not a worldwide problem. But what do I know? What do I know? I have no idea what it's like to be white. But anyway, whatever. All right, I'm going to wrap this up. Let's jump to feature thought. And, yeah, I'll let everything else marinate. And, yeah, let's take a quick break. And when we get back, feature thought. All right, forgot to mention Julius Cello Malema is a South African politician. He is the founder and leader of the Economic Freedom Fighters, EFF, a communist political party known for the Red Berets, military-style outfits worn by its members. Oh, yeah, and he scares white people. not intentionally, but his nickname is Juju? Interesting. All right, let me jump into controversy. You can charge. Like, is he like their minister? Is he like a Minister Farrakhan? Meaning because I said his name, then some of you just clicked off this podcast. whatever, man. I played just one of those, the message versus the messenger. I don't need to know who he is. I just like what he said. What I said at the beginning. Yeah. So today's thought is I talk about being liked versus being respected. Before we get to that, let me explain how how I got to here, how, what inspired today's thought, a series of thoughts, right? So let me start out. Have you ever been speaking to someone and they say something fucked up, stupid, and it may have offended you, it could have been offensive, but you're more caught up in, it may be offensive, it might not be offensive, but you're less offended than you are shocked that they said it. I brought this up at the barbershop just casually, because that's the kind of conversation I have with my barber, and he went down this rabbit hole about how, yeah, man, people are sensitive, overly sensitive and shit like that, but that's not what I'm talking about. Bear with me. They say something and it makes you ask, what the fuck were you, like, you're trying to make sense of their thought process. Like, what made you think it was okay to say that to someone? That's the question you're asking yourself. And I mean, thinking about, do people measure or think about consequences of their words? And here's where I derailed, the conversation shifted, because I realized that, okay, the reason why it's preoccupying me, what that person said, doesn't matter. It was ridiculous, doesn't matter. It's not worth repeating. But I am going to say that it did have me thinking about the fact that the reason why I'm so baffled by that person and what they said is because I think about all the energy I put in, all the time and energy I put in into being careful about what I say. Maybe it's a trauma response, but it's when you hear me stuttering, that's me constantly being careful about what I say, being worried I say the wrong things. Yes, I'm in that category of people who doesn't like offending people, but you know what? You can argue that maybe I put in too much energy into worrying about not being offensive. And I say this because I'm realizing that part of why I have this podcast is to stop me from doing that, is to speak freely and not focus on the listener. Sure, there's shit on this podcast I may say that if you confront me on the street about it, I might be like, oh, well, I said that. And just to be clear, I don't say shit to be offensive. I'm really learning to try to get into the habit of speak your mind. Say what you want to say. Get it out. Like, shit it out. And it's not like, tastes great, less filling. You know, I'm not trying to piss people off. I'm really just trying to get shit off my chest. And, yeah, needless to say that, yes, I will accept the consequences. I will own up to what I say. Assuming I remember, but I want to be clear. My intention is not to be hurtful. So yes, so I say this long ass setup, and that moment just had me thinking about how much energy I put in into being careful about what I say. Like I'm past. Like I moved on from that person and the stupid shit they said. You know. Who raised these people? People are raised different. Whatever, man. Different strokes, different. Like, sometimes I admire people who can just off the cuff speak their mind and don't overthink the consequences. And some of people are not trying to be, like, hurtful. They just, it is what it is. And so, I was thinking about that. I was ruminating over that idea. And then I landed on this clip, which finally brings us to today's thought and title.
One other thing that you write about in the introduction, where you say, all this changed when my mentor told me something I'll never forget. He said, Kwame, there is a difference between being liked and being respected. If you want to have personal and professional success, you have to be willing to engage with conflict.
Absolutely. And remember, it's not just the respect of others, but also the respect that you have for yourself. I remember there was one conversation in undergrad. My parents gave me a car. I was very appreciative. And they said, we have one rule, just one rule with the car. As long as you have friends in the car and for yourself, everybody needs to wear a seatbelt. I had my friends in the car and we were going somewhere and they did not want to wear their seatbelts. And I said, no, this is the rule. We have to wear our seatbelts. And it became the standoff for 15 painful minutes. And they were just saying, no, we're not wearing our seatbelts. This is silly. And then I wouldn't move the car. And then they said, okay, well, I guess Kwame's going to be a baby about this. We're going to go, right? So after that happened, I pulled aside one of my friends and I asked him a simple question. I said, why is it that you are my best friend, but it seems like you're the one who respects me the least? I just asked that question. And he was silent for a moment, but then he started explaining himself and then eventually apologized. And so I recognized at that point, a lot of times the conversations are going to be determined not by what it is that you actually say, but the quality of the questions that you ask. That question did all the work.
I love that you asked a question. Why is it that as my best friend, you respect me the least? I could see using that with your partner. Mm-hmm. I could see using that with your children.
Absolutely. And the question does the work. That's the first thing. And then I recognize that these conversations, these conflicts that we are trying to avoid are really relationship tests, right? And so a lot of times we live in fear of the person's reaction, but sometimes the person's reaction is the reason why the relationship needs to fundamentally change or end. A lot of times we hold back in these conversations because we say, oh, I don't want them to get mad. I don't want them to guilt me. Oh, they're going to get really upset with me. It's going to hurt their feelings. We're focusing completely on them and not focusing on the fact that we are hurt. We deserve to be respected and feel good in these relationships just in the same way they do, because there just might be a compatibility issue. There might be a situation where this person and you just for whatever reason don't mix, or they have a lot of growth to do, right? But whatever it is, we have to have a conversation in order to discover what the truth is.
Sorry, the music in the background. All right. The content creator where I got this clip from, the woman speaking in the background, her name is Mel Robbins, and I imagine that's her podcast. And the person who was responding was Kwame Christian Esquire, M.A. Is that master's? In the, whatever, M.A. Whatever, smart guy, whatever, educated. Okay. And so I bring this up because while I was reflecting on the whole how much energy I put into watching what I say and then listening to this, what's funny is because I was about to dismiss this video because I thought it was going to be another one of those, oh, in order to be successful, you got to be respected, not being a like, stop being a punk ass bitch, that's why you broke, shit like that, whatever, man. I was ready to dismiss this shit till I heard the whole clip, that story he gave about the car. And and it made me realize how much energy part of me being careful about what I say is because I have a need to be liked. Trauma response, whatever the fuck you want to call it, right? And I've actually gotten, I got to be careful, okay? I've actually gotten good at it. Let me rephrase. I put a lot of practice into it, into simply being liked. But I'm comparing not enough. No, you know what? I'm not going to say enough. But what he was saying about respect, on one end, when I think of respect, my first thought is, nah, man, you got to tell motherfuckers to go fuck themselves. You got to be ready to put what's that line by Tupac? Let them know that you can take them out anytime you feel like it. You got to get the wind between your pop, you're behind your back, partner. I'm imitating Tupac from Tupac in the movie Juice. Bishop, hold on. You know what? I'm gonna play this clip just because now I have an opportunity to play it. I'm gonna play it.
You gotta snap some collars and let them motherfuckers know you gotta take
them out
anytime you
feel like it.
You gotta get the ground beneath your feet, partner. Get the wind behind your back and go out in a blaze if you got to. Otherwise, you ain't shit. You might as well be dead your damn self.
You trying to say I ain't shit? I ain't trying to say shit. I tell your mama you ain't shit. All right. By the way, I love that movie, Bishop. Bishop Juice. It just had me. I'm strolling to the concept of being respected. Now, what I love about that story is when he was talking about respect, he wasn't just talking about the respect from others, but the respect you have for yourself. That's my area of improvement. It's one thing to be worried about, like there is to worry about being respected, like Bishop from Juice, but there's also the one, like at your core, do you actually believe you're entitled to being respected? So that's what I mean when I say how much energy I've put in into being liked by others, but not any energy to have to be even liked by my own self. That's really what I'm saying. When I say that not enough energy into being respected, I really mean into being liked by my own self. That's where that comes from. Like, I'm wondering the people out there who say things without being careful, are they being reckless or are they just being... Okay, I know it's a case-by-case basis, but what I was going to ask is, are they being reckless or are they me on this podcast just speaking their mind and don't have the intention to offend you, but if they do, they own up to it. Anyway, the person I was talking to, I'm sure they don't have these kind of deep thoughts, but I really believe they were being reckless. You know, white male. it was a white male. Just to give you a hint, it was a white male. And when I say white male, I mean I'm entitled. You know, this world is too soft. Can't say anything. And yeah, you had to be there. And you know what? I don't have much to say. I don't have much to say. But I pretty much said it all in the title. It's the other part too is. I'm not offering any solutions. This is just one big ass observation on my part. I think the biggest claim to fame was being able to play that clip. It just gave me something to think about. How much energy I spend into being liked and how little I spend into being liked by my own self or even self-respect. Like, because I was thinking about how the same person I was having, we were having an exchange of thoughts. And I realized that it's a habit on my part is how much energy I will put in to understand what the other person is saying and to make them feel and to get them to understand, okay, this is what you're saying. And how little I will expect the other person to return that favor. Like if I just get a sense of pushback that you aren't interested in what I have to say, then I'll leave it as be, as opposed to, hey, motherfucker, we're not done. It's, what's that habit again? Fifth habit. Seek first to understand, then be understood. Yes, fifth habit from the book The 7 Habits of the Highly Effective People. I love that chapter, but the part that I missed out from that chapter or I guess it was assumed is that when you seek first to understand and then be understood, you got to practice that with people who will return the favor. But again, it comes down to not believing that I deserve to give the same, to receive the same respect that I'm giving to this other individual. I don't know, man. I think sometimes it's just difficult navigating through this ugly world, this world of ours. But whatever. All right. Okay. I'm going to end it here. Just because it's my goddamn podcast. I could do it the way I want. whatever. And I, you know, I was just realizing that I'm starting to believe that Twitter and Blue Sky may not be the best place to promote this podcast. And I'm going to start focusing better on trying. I'm going to start putting more effort into reaching my target demographic. But with that said, this concludes today's episode. Hope you enjoyed it as much as I enjoyed recording it. Reminder, that website is shutuppodcast.com. Email address, because I would love to hear from you. Get your thoughts on this one. I'm like versus being respected. How do you fare out in that equation? Shutuppodcast401@gmail.com. Before I end the show, I want to remind you that this podcast is a safe space for my thoughts, and they're protected by the red, the black, and the green, with the red, black, and the red, blue. Rouge et bleu, motherfucker.
Rouge et bleu.
I represent and hold it down for black folks who grew up watching TV Ontario, Télé Québec, and black folks who say yes to Big Rube's question,
are you an outcast?
This episode was rated R and F. F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck White as a staff, record label, and as a motherfucking crew. And if you're going to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. Thank you for listening, and remember, please be kind to your favorite podcast. All right. Peace.
I am your king.